Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Staying Aligned, the Steele and Eisner podcast. I am joined today by a titan in the industry, my partner and honestly one of my best friends, Mr. Sean Steele.
And on this precious day, I've also had an opportunity to invite one of the most powerful forces for the goodness and the righteousness of personal injury, Alex Eisner.
Aha.
So he decided to drop by and join me in my office. You can see what happened to one of the prior speakers right behind me. He's in a skeleton, and basically he didn't do the right job on a PI case. And so all we got left of him is just a few bones. We're talking about the end of the year and the beginning of an exciting new year's in 2025. Here's what we know. Things are changing rapidly in personal injury for chiropractors. A lot of it good, a lot of it not so good. So I want to start off, what's the number one entity in your life that's preventing you from getting paid 100% of your bill? Sometimes we do our own problems that are self-inflicted. Right now, we got four doctors that are not sending the reports, they're not sending us the bill, they're not even sending us the soap notes. These cases are dying to settle. And so we're begging, pleading, everything that we can. So sometimes we do damage to ourselves. But in this case, there's a whole new growth, what we call the billboard TV mass marketing pre-lit attorney. What does that mean? We did see them a couple of years ago, but we're seeing them bigger than ever. There's now a lot of new attorneys in the field. They heard that personal injury is good, it's lucrative, it's fun, but a lot of them don't want to work. The one thing they don't want to do is file lawsuits and actually have to go to trial and actually have to deal with insurance companies. That's probably 60 to 70% of all the personal injury attorneys. And that's probably, the percentage is probably much higher than
I
that.
I think it is, yeah.
But here's what we have with the pre-lit attorneys. They never intend to go to trial. So what does that mean? They want the easy stuff that can settle for $15,000, soon to be, what's the new rate?
Up to 30.
Now, no more $15,000 cases on January 1st. All insurance policies will have to be $30,000 at a minimum. That's good for a lot of people. But the billboard attorneys kind of changed the game. They're dominating the media in ways that we've never seen before. And what, I wonder why are they spending literally millions of dollars each month? And there's about 10 of these firms you see throughout California, and they're all over the country. You know, if you travel anywhere, as soon as you get out of the airport, there's a billboard attorney. And I mean, every state, every airport, every city, it seems. And what happens is, I call it, they're mining for gold. Most miners, when they're mining for gold, do they find the nice gold in vain? No. Most miners don't make money for most of their lives, and they starve. But if they do enough mining and they use what was the technique they were using in the turn of the century? They have water pumps that would simply destroy entire mountains looking for a gold vein, and they let the land go to waste. That's the kind of a atmosphere we're seeing right now. Take the 105 freeway, one of my favorite freeways. I counted one time from LAX to the Harbor Freeway. There were some 30 billboards that I saw, and honest to God, 28 of them were actually personal injury attorneys with easy numbers to remember, you know, so talking about easy cash and, you know, call us for serious injuries, whatever. We see that on TV, you see the Lakers game, it's endemic. I mean, they're among the biggest advertisers in the world. And what they're doing is that when they get a call from some person that got an accident, they don't know anything about most people who don't have accidents most of the time. It's like in California, it's one every 7 years people will have a car accident. Many of them not too serious. But when they think they can make some money or it's kind of serious, they'll call a billboard attorney, and they wind up not talking to an attorney at all. They wind up calling a call center. Hopefully the English is good. But the call center is a warehouse, not in California, maybe somewhere in the Midwest, maybe some other part of the world. And they have a formula, the questions you're supposed to ask. And, you know, basic questions. Is there a police report? Did you go to the hospital? Is there an emergency room? What kind of insurance that you have? And they're putting all this in a computer that some other person in the law firm is looking at in real time on their computer to see, well, is this a case that we should explore or not?
But the but what but what ends up happening with a lot of these cases is they shoot first and ask questions later. I mean, a lot of the times they are signing up these cases left and right. And I know that I've heard this story in chiropractors' offices 100 times. The person gets into a car accident, they call a billboard attorney, they sign up the case, they sign the lien, they get them treating immediately. All seems a little too good to be true. Not a lot of questions asked, not a lot of interaction between the law firm.
They don't have the time to do the
Because
investigation.
they're getting hundreds and hundreds of leads from their various referral sources. And then what happens is that, so they get them treating, they get their DC treatment, they get their MRI, they go to a pain management or ortho. And then a couple of months down the road, a case manager at this law firm takes a look at this file for the very first time, realizes, oh, there's a huge gap in treatment, or there's a Prop 213, or they're at fault for the accident, or whatever. And then the easiest thing in the world, they just send a drop letter. They just drop the case.
So,
And who's left holding the bag?
and so, so you have a dilemma. So, a lot of patients will come in and they already have their billboard attorney. Well, you need to know who they are. Look at the name of that law firm. Send them a lien agreement, if nothing else. But you're probably in trouble already because a volume type of practice doesn't have the time to even talk to you. And I want to go over that in a couple of seconds. But to take on Alex's point, this is a bigger deal than ever. When it goes to a call center, nobody at the PI law firm really cares. They're looking for the volume. They're looking for the golden case. They're looking for the golden case, where it turns out a spectacular liability. It turns out that it was a big accident. And best of all, it was a big fat truck that hurt the client. That's why you'll see some of these billboards say, were you hit by a truck? Because in California, most of the time it's $1 million or $5 million insurance, or it's Uber, $1 million. So they're looking at the big policies, and then they'll go to work on those people, sending them to the most aggressive medical doctors. Last thing they need is chiropractic. They send them to a medical doctor hoping that there's some major surgery. And a lot of times it's deceptive. They say, hey, you're going to see a great doctor. He'll take care of you. Well, these great doctors are going to charge $200,000 to $300,000 for a procedure, which is literally 3 to 10 times the market price. And so some of the medical doctors that are involved in this personal injury industry really are looking at making a lot of money at the same time, so is the PI attorney. What that all comes down to is that 99% of the cases aren't interesting to this law firm. They're interested in the 1%. They know what they have to do. They got to get 100 cases. 50% may not be any good. 40% they might be able to settle. A few others, but they'll never try the case. And the cases that might be somewhat good, but maybe worth $30,000, maybe worth $70,000, they're going to refer to a trial firm down the street. They'll take a small percentage of that, but they just want to get it out of their office. They don't want to have to be involved in lawsuits, judges, filing restrictions.
Well, let me say something about pre-lit only firms too, because I think a lot of practitioners, chiropractors, they don't really know the difference and know to ask that question. But if you're dealing with a law firm that's a pre-lit only firm, it creates this inherent problem where if you have a case where the case value, or let's just say the offer, best offer comes in from the insurance company and it's lower than it should be. It's a $50,000 case. There's $50,000 of money there. And it's 50,000 all day, and they offer you 25. So there's another $25,000 to get there. I mean that's not nothing. And, in our practice, we've got a pre-lit department. Sean heads that up, and I head up the litigation team. If they say best offer $25,000, and we deem it to be a $50,000 case, it comes into me. I file a lawsuit. We fight to get the 50. But in a pre-lit only firm, they have two options at this point. They can either shove the $25,000 settlement down their client's throat, or they can refer that case out to a litigation firm. But when they do that, they automatically lose at least half of their attorney's fee. So now the attorney's got this conflict. Should I refer this case out to a litigation firm to get the extra 25, but then I lose half of my attorney's fee? Or should I just convince the client to take the 25, I get my full fee, and we live to fight another day on some other case? It sets up this weird incentive, and that for a good number of these cases, they're just shoving bad settlements down people's throats. There's no other way it could be going, right? Because their only other option, if they don't have a litigation department in-house, is to send it out and lose a bunch of money. So it just sets up this bad dynamic.
Well, when you have a market budget that's going to cost you millions of dollars each month, the one thing about advertisers, TVs, and billboards, if you don't pay the cash in advance, you don't get advertising. If you don't get the mass advertising, you don't get the cases. So to get that $1 million case or the $5 million case or the $50 million case, they're willing to bank and do all the rest of the damage. There's two ways that it can hurt you. If your patient saw a billboard attorney, you're going to have some really interesting challenges. One, you'll never talk to the attorney in charge because it's kind of a hocus pocus. There's a couple of attorneys that have their name on the advertisements. They have their name on the website, but they're not there. You know, they're in Cabo San Lucas. You know, they're traveling in the south coast of France. They're just physically not around. You never talk to them. You'll be lucky if you talk to a paralegal, and they're very busy. You know, they got a ton of stuff, ton of responsibilities, and you're just wasting their time if you want to know how the case is going or what you should do. The other part of it is the med pay. They need to take your med pay. They have to have it. They need as much operating capital as possible to pay for the ads. And so many of them have a philosophy that most real trial attorneys don't abide by at all. The med pay belongs to the doctor. That's what it's called for, medical insurance for payment of medical services. But they take it immediately. They send out a letter to the insurance company, says, under no circumstances are you to send this money to the doctor or to the patient or to any medical facility. Send it to us and we'll control it, take care of it. And they take a big fee out of it. They think the med pay is part of the settlement. It's dishonorable, it's disrespectful, but it's not illegal.
But I've heard doctors, and I want to set it because it crushes me. I've heard doctors, chiropractors, say to me, "Oh well, that law firm referred me the case, so I let them, you know, I let them have the med pay, sort of a quid pro quo." Like, it is med pay. It is for you. The only reason the insurance company paid it out is because qualifying medical bills were submitted to them that they ran through their system and said, yep, these are qualifying medical payments. They paid it out. If you told them the truth about what you were going to do with that money, which is give it to an attorney, they wouldn't have paid for it. I yell and scream that that sounds like fraud to me.
Yeah, and there's another problem that comes behind that as well. What happens if that attorney refers, or that law firm, not an attorney, that law firm refers you the case? And a lot of times they're looking at lists. There's a lot of doctors that won't take cases from those billboard attorneys because they know they're going to have problems. The patient's not going to be happy because he'd never hear from the attorney, and they won't get paid. So they turn down those cases, say, oh no, you're with this guy, this firm, I'm not going to touch it. So they're looking for new meat. Basically, you're the new meat. You're the new chiropractor. Oh my God, this LA firm is referring me this case. It's a blessing. It's great. Sometimes they'll be semi-honest and say, hey, look, are you okay if we cut your fees? Well, that's damn near illegal because now they're trying to set a price control, even though they don't know what the settlement is. They're basically wanting a quid pro quo. And you don't want to get involved in those conversations. You never know who's tape recording it, especially nowadays. But thirdly, they can just ignore you high and dry. Here's one of the worst examples that I've heard. A lot of times, again, as Alex mentioned earlier, a serious person in that law firm will, you know, a senior case manager will look at the case and say, this is terrible. Our guy was drunk. Our guy was arrested. It was a big accident, but he caused the accident. We shouldn't even touch this case. Nobody's going to want it. So they dropped the case. On occasion, they may not even tell the doctor they dropped the case. They just dropped the case. Get rid of this. So some clerk who's busy, is overworked, not happy, miserable work environment, they simply send a letter to the client, say, hey, look, you were drunk, you know, 4 months after the accident, and you caused the accident. Therefore, there's nothing we can do to help you. Wouldn't it be nice if you knew? So you're stuck with a bill, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. Nobody ever tells you, and then you finally find out by talking to the patient, asking where the money is, or you call the law firm, and they may or may not tell you that they dropped the case because of the patient. The worst insult you can do. There's a lot of ways of ripping off people, ripping off your time and your attention. You're trying to take care of somebody who's legitimately injured. You do your best, and then you discover you're not going to get paid, and then the attorney doesn't even tell you. What breaks my heart. And with some things that we really jump on right away, we'll have a questionable case. We're not sure. We're not sure who did it. If the police report's going to be good, if the witnesses are going to be good, we get to work right away. But what I do is text or call the chiropractor, simply say, there might be a problem here. I want you to be aware of it. And there may be a question about who's responsible for it. So we're going to talk to the witnesses ourselves. We're going to talk to the police. Hopefully there's a good police report. But I warned the doctor up front immediately, he may be running a free clinic. I call it a free clinic if you don't get paid. Sometimes in those hardship cases early on, and I have to do this from time to time, I don't want you to be ignorant about what's really going on with your money, your practice, your future. So sometimes you got to talk to the patient, say, hey, look, I need a little money up front. It's a risky case. A lawyer tells me, we'll tell it to the clients. We have to tell it to the clients. They know that they know. They know if there's a problem or not. And so our best compliment to you, even if you refer us the case or we refer the case to you, our best compliment to you is give you immediate, fast, accurate information. No BS, because we know that your neck is stuck out too.
Well, and here's why that's so important, because and you probably could put it together yourself, but if we end up turning down a case, right? Somebody's is nice enough or thoughtful enough to say, hey, I want to trust Sean and Alex with this patient of mine, and they send it over to us. We end up taking a look at it, and we can't take it for whatever reason. When we call the chiropractor and say, here's why we can't take this case, your client's at fault, or there's a 2 month gap in treatment, or Prop 213, they didn't have insurance, or I mean, whatever the reason is, that information is so valuable, because guess what's about to happen? You're going to get a great news the next time that client comes back into your office. I found an attorney that is willing to take my case, and you will recognize the name of that attorney because it will be on every billboard on the 105 freeway. And so they are willing to take it. And so then you need to think to yourself, okay, Sean and Alex already turned this down, and they told me why they turned it down. So this new attorney that's willing to take it, did they cure whatever problem this is? Do they think they have a strategy? And I'm willing to acknowledge that it's
Right.
possible that they could call you up and say, hey, I realize somebody passed on this, but I want to take a chance on it because of whatever. And great, you should have that conversation if an attorney calls you to have it. But if they don't, you should think, okay, well, Sean and Alex passed this up because it was whatever. Let's say it was Prop 213. So they passed it because it's Prop 213. This other attorney's willing to take it. It's still Prop 213, though. So is that a situation
Okay,
you want to get into?
Alex, you drifted into the world of jargon. Explain what Proposition 213 in California is. We got a couple of doctors here who don't practice in California.
It's very possible. So in California, Proposition 213 says that if you, as a driver, don't carry auto insurance, the California minimum auto insurance, which, like Sean said, is going up to $30,000, but right now it's 15. If you don't have it and you get into an accident, even if it's not your fault, you are not eligible to get pain and suffering damages, what we call general damages. You're only able to get your medical bills reimbursed. And that doesn't sound that bad on its out just from the outset, but in a PI case, if you think about, okay, I'm only going to get my meds repaid, and let's assume, for sake of argument, that you're going to get them paid at 100%, which realistically you're probably not. But let's say you have, $15,000 in medical bills, and somehow the insurance company is willing to pay the full $15,000 worth of medical bills. But there's still an attorney's fee, and there's still attorney's costs. So let's say it's $5,000 in attorney's fee, and then another $1,000 in attorney's costs. So now you got $9,000 to pay $15,000 worth of medical bills. By definition, the medical doctors are going to get screwed. And that's before we even try to put any money in the client's pocket. So Prop 213 case is very, very dangerous, because nearly impossible for you to get paid in full. And that's obviously what we're trying to do here, is get our doctors paid in full. So that's all I'm trying to say, is that if you don't want to find yourself in a situation where you a legitimate attorney, and I like to put myself in that group, turned a case down. You hopefully found out why they turned that case down, and then your client goes out, gets another attorney without curing that problem. That's going to be an incredibly important piece of information for you to know when you're deciding whether or not you want to treat on a lien on that case.
We've had Proposition 213 was a state initiative that California voters voted on about 30 years ago. It was a favor to the insurance industry, a new way of not paying people. And basically, they made it really clear: if you don't have auto insurance, you don't have a claim. Even if you're innocent, even if you have a very good, solid police report. The exception is if the guy that hit you was drunk as a skunk and arrested and convicted, then you have a claim. And how often is that going to happen? So that was some politician put that on the ballot, and he was sleazy then, he's sleazy today, but there's another story behind that as well. So a good attorney is going to go and make sure that he doesn't touch your med pay. Now, here's another little risk that you have to think about. Sometimes you get these amazing referrals from some LA attorney, Wilshire Boulevard attorney, whatever. And they'll say, hey, we got a case, please take care of it, we'll be happy to sign a lien. The problem is that it's got a very bad liability potential, Maybe there's no police report, there's no witnesses, it's he said, she said, and so it's kind of in the dark zone no matter what. But the patient has 100,000 med pay. Watch out for those. There's certain attorneys that are not quite straight up and not quite honest. They love those 100,000 med pay because suddenly your patient disappears for weeks at a time. They're seeing a neurologist in Colorado, they're seeing a brain expert imaging psychiatric mental facility somewhere in Northern California. They're getting some very specialized treatments, the likes of which you've never heard of. And by golly, you got a bill that's $100,000 or more. Well, guess what? They dropped the case. Turns out liability is bad. There's no third party money at all. You're screwed. But the med pay, they will they'll get these exorbitant bills from medical facilities, medical institutions, and they'll take a big fat piece of that and for themselves. And then pay whatever they feel like paying the rest of the doctors. You might get something, you may get nothing, but they're just taking advantage of the client. It's really extremely unethical. That's the kind of stuff that I ought to go to the bar, but frankly, I don't think the bar is going to do much about it. The other stuff that I want you to know is that I will tell you within 24 hours. This is our rule, and other attorneys should. We'll tell you about the full insurance picture, the full liability picture, the full impact picture, the information you should know cognitively about a PI case, and then I send it to you whether you want it or not. I'll send you copies of the pictures. I'll send you a copy of the police report. If they went to the emergency clinic or they went to an urgent care clinic, I'll send you that as well. And I'll let you know what the insurance is. So you have an idea what I'm dealing with too. You may have spectacular, terrible injuries, but if the insurance isn't big enough, you need to know. Once in a while we'll get a case with small insurance and I'll warn everybody, but if a lot of referrals are made, that's going to put a challenge in getting your bill paid 100%. And our motto is we get you paid. That's our motto. We don't want to hurt our ability. Now, the last point I want to make, because we got to talk about a whole nother problem with insurance companies, and we're talking about the referral scam, is that if you're working with attorneys that don't like chiropractors, you're wasting your time. You're not doing anything for yourself, your self-esteem, let alone the profession.
But how are they supposed to know if they're working with a doctor that
Well, you
doesn't like
ask him whether,
chiropractors?
yeah, thank you. That's a good setup. I like that. He must have heard my speech before. Ask him, even the paralegal, just ask the paralegal on the phone, who's your chiropractor? And if they stutter, they say they don't need one, they don't understand what chiropractic does, you're in the wrong neighborhood. Okay, referral sources. What's going on with these referral agencies? Because that's new too. It's a whole new industry within personal injury.
Yeah, and without naming names, there's a lot of these referral networks
Why
and
are we naming
referrals
names?
ah, because,
You could defend it.
I probably could.
He's a smart guy. He teaches civil procedure at Loyola Law School, so I'm not worried. You'd assume me for telling the truth? Okay, go on. That's
But
a next podcast, right? We're gonna
sure.
name names
Yeah.
and point out who those bad guys
That should
are.
be the next book where it's called Naming Names, and
Ooh,
we just brag on.
naming bad names in PI. That's good.
Yes,
Okay,
I
good.
like that. That won't get us sued.
Yeah.
I want to talk about referral services and networks for a second because this is a big thing. I'm seeing it pop up at a lot of these CalCAIRO network, CalCAIRO events that we speak at, where we're seeing these various referral services and networks that are trying to solicit doctors to join them. And the problem that I'm seeing with a lot of them is that they are very one size fits all. And I think to some doctors, that's appealing to just have, okay, here's how to do PI. I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and hopefully I get paid in the end. But the problem is that, well, there's a couple of problems, but one is that you're a doctor. I mean, we don't need to treat doctors like they are, grade school children who can't think critically about each individual patient that they see and what this patient is likely going to need. Yes, most of your cases in PI are going to need MRIs. When to send out for those MRIs is going to be case by case. It's usually toward the beginning, but when I hear at these events that, like, you need to send out the very, very, very first thing you do is send out for MRIs. Which ones? I mean, did you document medical necessity? I mean, nobody seems to be interested in that. Oh, and then we need to do this, and then we need to send out for this, and then we need to do this. Like, okay, some cases, yes, maybe even a lot of cases, yes, but or no pain scales, no narrative reports. It's like, okay, we don't have to do pain scales. We don't have to do narrative reports. But some cases lend themselves to pain scales. Some cases lend themselves to a more narrative style report. But we're cutting these avenues out because essentially what we're saying, and I'm hearing attorneys say it, and I'm hearing chiropractors say it to other chiropractors, is you can't be trusted. You can't be trusted to put a pain scale together because if you say 1 out of 10 or 0 out of 10 pain in the at the last visit, then the attorney's going to be screwed. Well, maybe we teach chiropractors not to do that. If you say, oh, don't we can't use pain scales, we can't use narrative style reports. It's like, well, are your soap notes going to contain off work or work restrictions? Are your soap notes going to contain activities of daily living that they're living with that are all altered now? Are your soap notes going to contain causation, some element of drawing a line between the injury that they sustain, or apportionment to previous injuries or after in subsequent injuries? If yes, I concur. You don't need a narrative style report. But if no, well, then we're going to need a narrative report. I mean,
Alex, I want to amplify this because we're just about running out of time. One is I'd like to show that we have a list of medical doctors and medical facilities, MRI facilities all over California, from Shasta County down to El Centro. And we do that because if a chiropractor needs a second opinion, needs to have some medical involvement, we want to make sure that we're not working with bad guys. And again, it's like lawyers, half of them are absolutely worthless, and a lot of the medical doctors not so good either. They just hate chiropractors. They were trained somewhere else, and they decided the chiropractors early in their medical life was not necessary. So you don't want to work with the enemy, and especially people that disparage your profession in their offices. So I worry about that a lot. But there's another reality. You've got a lot of these large extended medical groups. And they got every service in the world. I mean, and I remember a case, doctor in Long Beach, luckily it wasn't me, referred his patient. He's reluctant. He doesn't want to bring in medical, but the patient was badly hurt, sent him to a medical doctor. 3 weeks later, she comes back in a wheelchair. The hell happened? She wasn't a wheelchair, but she's older. Her name's Virginia. And she came back because she went to a medical facility. It was an orthopedist where she says, well, you need to see a guy down the hall or pain manager. Okay, fine. So she goes, and she didn't know, the doctor told her to go to this medical facility and see a doctor. Well, then they got her MRIs. Then they got her to a neurosurgeon. Before you know it, she had back surgery, and it was failed back surgery, which is all too common. And she came back to the chiropractor's office 3 weeks later in a wheelchair. I'll never forget that experience because it was as a sad reality that they can do a lot of damage. I mean, our rule of thumb, what is it again? We never ask any of our patients, do you want to get surgery? Do you want to get surgery? What's the rule?
The rule is, well, my rule is that I don't think surgery is warranted unless people can't get out of bed.
That's it.
For
Can't,
back, specifically back surgery.
yeah, if you can't get out of bed, then you may think about it. But to discuss it with your doctor, discuss it with the chiropractor, discuss it with your family, that's a last resort. The whole point of chiropractic and acupuncture, for that matter, is you try to do everything holistically and as non-interventional as possible. Alex, once again, you talked a lot. I talked a lot. I guess that's what we get paid for, but we got some fantastic opportunities.
What's coming up in
Well, what
2025?
do you know? Sam Collins and Alex and I are going to be doing a roadshow at four cities in California in the next 6 months. And if you're curious, go to our website. We got names, these places. We also do our own show. It's for CE credits for 1 or 2 hours, and we'll be in your neighborhood. And the way you find out is emailing me, Sean Steele at SeanSteele.com, although Alex has kind of changed her email.
That still works.
Okay, Sean Steele, SeanSteele.com, or Alex Eisner at SteeleEisner.com. Good luck on that.
A lot of letters,
Lot of
a
vowels
lot of
and a
vowels.
lot of, yeah.
You can also go to steelizer.com/events and you can see everywhere we're going to be.
Is that on our
It's
website?
on our
Do we have
website.
a website?
Yes.
We have a fantastic website. We're constantly modernizing it. Don't forget the PI email
Oh,
newsletter.
yeah.
We get a lot of interaction. We get nearly 50% of the subscribers actually open it and see it. No publication that I know of has that kind of widespread value. We do much better than the New York Times, but that's not much of a bar. So, have a look at our PI email letter. We always have something good and exciting to feature. And then the podcast. Now we're changing the entire format. We're going to expand this quite a bit. We're going to be bringing another very popular podcast. And what we discovered was a brutal, harsh reality. I thought everybody's life would stop at Wednesday at 1 o'clock to tune in to hear one of our fantastic outside speakers and have a nice interview for 30 minutes. It turns out nobody does that. Not even me. I listen to podcasts, but it's not at a certain time because I'm busy at 1 o'clock. No, people listen to podcasts when they have time. When they're forced to go and see their mother-in-law and it's a 2-hour drive, they'll listen to Steele Eisner for 2 hours and have a lot of happiness at that time instead of just something random and nothing. So
Yeah,
we'll see on that.
so we're batting around a new format idea. We're batting around doing some collaborations with other podcasters in the space, and just trying to make this a little more collaborative, a little more interesting for people in the coming year. So that's something we're excited about, building and growing the podcast. But I just want to say a big thank you to all the doctors out there who have done just an incredible job this year. 2024 has been amazing. We have heard so many positive comments from our clients about chiropractic treatment. The treatment they've gotten this year from doctors has been second to none. And I really, really mean that. And I do think there's been an uptick. I do think the quality of care is increasing. I know there's a lot to be pensive about, a lot to be concerned about going into a new year. But I really think that that this last year has been an incredible year for chiropractic, and I think I prophesize good things for the coming year.
The insurance companies are always going to be into the three big D's: a discount, denial, and delay. We understand that. That's why lawyers like we're busy. A lot of times, I see a case. I know it should settle quickly, but they won't do it unless you file a lawsuit and hit them with a two by four. Don't quit trying to be nice. Just let them know we're serious. This young man knows how to go to court. Look him up. I did a grok on him the other day, and they got his $11 million verdict on grok. And so it's public knowledge. So folks, good being with you. We're easy to reach. You got our emails. Any question on PI, absolutely contact me or Alex, but don't ever contact us about an immigration problem, criminal problem. We'll plea you up. Don't get divorced. It's too expensive. Raise little children. Where's your Alex's kids? Aren't they amazing? It's beautiful. It's a composite picture, but I'll explain that some other time. And I got four beautiful grandkids, so life is good. The question is that we got to keep the profession strong, make sure that you pay your dues to the CCA because nobody else in Sacramento cares about you, and I mean that literally, unless your mother lives there and she'll care about you. But we have an annual seminar coming up. We had a fantastic one we just finished with all the all-stars, amazing people at across the street from Disneyland. A lot of the doctors brought their families. It was the best seminar we've ever had,
I
actually.
agree.
The content was amazing. Did you ever record any of that? Probably not. And we fed you breakfast and lunch. So Alex did not record the seminar, which should be legendary. Should be on every screen in
You
the
got to
room.
be there. So you got to be there kind of situation.
Okay, guys. Thanks. Have a great, happy new year. It's going to be great. We're going to be talking about PRPs in your office. We're going to be talking about new ways of expanding your practice. We're going to be talking about working with some new features that are non-interventional medical care that will be guided by the chiropractic referral.
And AI,
And AI.
John
Boy,
loves AI.
I do love AI. I love it too much. It loves me too much. Good
Take
day.
care, guys. Thank you so much.
Bye.